So our subject tonight is ambition that we can embrace. And here is our first challenge. You have 1 minute to write down your life's ambition or your life's ambitions. Now, you don't need to write them down. You don't need to share with anybody, either in this minute or even tonight or this week. But let's take 1 minute to reflect. You might want to speak quietly to somebody near you, but think about this question, please. What is your life's ambition or ambitions? Do you have one? Do you have some? What's your life ambition? Thank you very much. Okay, you've had a minute to write down or think about your life's ambition or ambitions, and now you have the rest of your life to fulfill it or to fulfill them. Because every day is a gift of God and an opportunity to give to him our ambitions, and if they honour him, to seek his resources to accomplish them. But we feel really, some of us, really conflicted about this kind of exercise, this subject, this topic. And some of us will feel very, very private and reluctant in the face of a challenge like, think about, even articulate your life's ambition. My favourite American author, Herman Melville, him of Moby Dick fame, said, ambition is, quote, the most secret of all passions. By which I think he means our ambitions are things we really want to achieve, but we don't really want to share how we want to invest our life, what we want to get out of life. But there's another sense in which they might be the most secret, because sometimes we don't really know what drives us. It is a mystery to us. Perhaps we are looking for a consuming ambition, but we might feel with some sorrow tonight we haven't really found it. Or it might be that we've lived long lives and we look back and we think, well, was that a good ambition that has got me here? Have I invested my life wisely? And then I guess some of us here tonight might feel uncomfortable with this subject because we don't really want to share with other people that we don't really have many ambitions. And we wouldn't want people to be unimpressed with us or think we're lazy or unfocused. So all of us are feeling uncomfortable to differing degrees and in differing ways tonight. So we're all in the same boat. Now, Proverbs has a lot to say about ambition, and there are a lot of surprises. If you looked in a concordance or you did a word search, an online Bible, Book of Proverbs, ambition, you really wouldn't find very much. I don't think the word ambition is used. It doesn't translate any particular Hebrew word in Proverbs. But don't think Proverbs doesn't want to teach you and shape your thinking about ambition. If you look for the word desire or hopes or plans, then Proverbs is going to light up with all sorts of challenges, warnings, invitations, and encouragements to help us and to train us. So let's get into this topic. Question. Big question. Number one, do you have a problem with ambition? And I guess with hearts like ours, struggles like ours, faith difficulties like ours, none of us finds the topic of ambition clear and straightforward and easy. Maybe we're wondering if the Bible has a problem with ambition. Certainly those who have written on the Bible have flagged the warnings. So the French reformer John Calvin said that ambition is, and I'm quoting him, the most enslaving of all dispositions. He's raising a warning flag. Watch out for your ambitions. Over 1,000 years before, Augustine said, ambition is, quote, quite simply, a craving for honour and glory. Now, I think he's harsh and wrong, but let's put it out there. Ambition is a craving for honour and glory. That's going to slap us down, isn't it? At least it is designed to. And when I was a young Christian, I had an older Christian friend who like to make the observation that Jesus encourages his disciples to pray, "Lord, give us our daily bread, not our cream cakes." And he used to say that to challenge what he felt were instincts in all of us towards greed and dissatisfaction and not wanting to live the simple Christian life. As we come into Scripture itself, of course the Bible condemns selfish ambition. And if we sift our ambitions and begin to get to know our hearts, we know that selfishness is often there in what on surface value seem to be sound ambitions. But Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Here's a lovely modern quote from a book on ambition by a man called Dave Harvey. He says, ambition is easily corruptible. In fact, when it's corrupted, I love this, it's plutonium, positively glowing with depravity. Can you remember times, seasons, eras in your life when your ambitions have been positively glowing with depravity? And they're not nice memories to revisit, are they? Compare Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, which I take as you and I can effortlessly justify, defend, and pursue our ways, our ambitions. But God is looking at a deeper level. Motives are weighed by the law. The law puts them on the scales of his justice. He's looking for purity and integrity. And what he sees is often not what we see or what we want to put a cover on or a gloss over. And then look perhaps at verse 5. The Lord detests all those who are proud in heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. We all of us struggle with pride. And that verse is cautioning us to be very, very careful about how we act, because God sees and he judges. So scripture after scripture warns us about selfish ambition. But the very passage, Philippians 2, where the Apostle Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, then says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he sets out the Lord Jesus' strong ambition to take the form of a servant and to serve so completely and utterly that he was ambitious to give up his life at the cross for the salvation of the world. That is some ambition. That is some saviour. And that should check us, lest we think the ambition is de facto bad. So come back to Augustine. It is a craving for honour and glory. Lord Jesus Christ, what were you wanting as you went to the cross? If we can ask that question with all reverence, could he say from his sinless heart, I was craving honour and glory? He would. The honour and glory of his Father in the salvation of lost and hell-deserving people. Pure ambition. The Saviour of whom it was prophesied, zeal for my Father's house will consume me, was consumed with zeal, with ambition, to honour his Father and save lost people. The Bible is not against ambition. Not in any sense. But God is sovereign over our ambitions. And he wants to bless true ambition. Look at verse 3. What a wonderful encouragement in this area. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I'm not very comfortable with that verse, and I'm not sure if all of us will be, because it sounds like, well, whatever we decide to do, and perhaps breathe a quick prayer over, God is going to bless and honour. But the rest of Scripture says, actually, all our outcomes, humanly speaking, are quite uncertain. A lot of what you and I invest in and attempt will fail. That's just how life is. And yet God is sovereign over all of it. So this verse doesn't become a proof text which we can say, God, you've got to honour and own my ambition. I've prayed this through. We can't do that without any verse. But it's a wonderful, clear and strong encouragement. Don't be anxious about living. Don't be tentative. Don't overthink things. Don't be unambitious. Work out what you should be doing. Easier said than done. Work out what you should be doing, plan it, pray it through, get on with it. And wait to see if God is going to be walking with you and owning and honouring your plans and your desires. By the way, Calvin, a highly ambitious man for the honour and glory of God. Augustine, a highly ambitious man for the honour and glory of God. If we're not highly ambitious, if we're not craving the honour and glory of God, and we're Christian people, something's gone wrong somewhere. So we want godly ambition, which is like plutonium, positively glowing with godly zeal. Proverbs commends that. So, can we have perhaps a definition, a working definition of Christian ambition? Let's try this. It's on the screen if you want to follow it and think about it. A godly ambition is a desire to honour God, grounded in his word, needing the power of the Holy Spirit, and seeking to use the gifts we've been given in the service of Christ. I'll repeat that. A little bit later on, we're going to revisit it and try to work it through. So a godly ambition is a desire to honour God, grounded in his word, needing the power of the Holy Spirit, and seeking to use the gifts we've been given in the service of Christ. So do you have a problem with ambition? You may have a problem with the ambition you're discovering. Do not honour him. You may have a problem discovering you don't have enough ambition. And all of us, I guess, have problems working out what the best ambitions are to have. Those will be thinking about it. But remember Jesus, a man of zealous ambition. And his truest servants are fired with the same ambition given by the Spirit to honour God. Well, let's think a little bit more. God and our ambitions. Because God is so closely involved in the lives of all, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous. Remember verse 4. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. God has ambitions, plans, purposes for the righteous, for the wicked, and he's tracking all of us, leading us to a day of outcomes. Look at verse 7 with me, please. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, what does he love to do? He loves to bless his children with a season of peace. Again, let's take the caution we needed to apply to verse 3. This is not a blanket promise. Because who of all men's ways were pleasing to the Lord? Jesus. Did his enemies live at peace with him? No. They hounded him to death. And yet God loves to bring peace into the lives of his children and those who are seeking to be ambitious for him. Let's not confuse strong ambition with some really big scale. Everybody can see it, and everybody is impacted by it, ambition. Because that might be a mistake. You might be sitting and thinking, oh no, I need to get some gigantic ambition and vision for kingdom service, which I don't think is me. But that's what the preacher seems to be saying. Not at all. Ambitions come in all different forms, shapes, and sizes. Take this ambition, for example, from the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 11 and 12. The Thessalonian church were being rocked by some false teaching about the return of Christ. And clearly they were very destabilized from living wise and fruitful Christian lives. So what does the Apostle Paul say to them? He says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Another translation might be a steady, a regular, a routine life. Mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. So there's three surprising and very unspectacular looking ambitions for Christian disciples. Lead a quiet life, a steady life, a reliable life. Mind your own business. God gives each of us more than enough to be getting on with without interfering in or speculating about the lives of others. Get on with the calling he's given each of us. And be a hard worker. Work with your hands. That doesn't mean we all have to do manual work or creative work or physical work, but it means we need to find something for our hands to do, that we are productive. And so we can live a life where we're minding our own business, working conscientiously and being completely steady and reliable in the Christian life, and nobody may see it. But that may be fulfillment of the ambition God has given us, which is going to be a blessing, perhaps to a smaller circle. And that will be fine. And that will honour the Lord and be greatly pleasing in his sight. And as we get involved in the perplexing job of working out what we should be doing with our lives, just take comfort from verse 9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I think we hear in that verse the "but" maybe more loudly than Solomon intended it. We almost hear the second line of the proverb, don't we? Like a bit of a smackdown when you can plan, but actually it's a bit of wasted effort because God's in this and he will do what he wants. I think if that's the way we're hearing it, well, that might be a warning to us if we're not acting in faith. But there's a strong tone of encouragement here. We can plan and we should plan to live fruitfully and well. But it's not all down to us. God may honour our plans, he may take them and lovingly tear them up. But he's determining our steps, step by step, ordering our lives, working out his ambition for them, which should help us to be able to breathe and to rest and to sleep. He's working out the best for us with love and care and wisdom. But look at how careful we need to be as we work out our ambitions before God. And that's really verses 10 to 12. Because as we think about ambition, we need to shape our ambitions in the light of God's holiness and in the light of God's righteousness. So verse 10. A man with great authority and accountability in God's sight, the king. Well, the lips of a king speak as an oracle. His mouth should not betray justice. So Proverbs is saying, with all that power comes great responsibility. He must fulfill his calling very, very carefully. And that's the same theme in verse 11, isn't it? Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. In other words, God is just and loves justice. If we set our hearts on ambitions, if we allow desires to control and direct our lives which are not honest and just in God's sight, no one gets the glory. And we will miss out on our reward when we will incur the displeasure of God. He's looking for integrity in the hearts of his servants. And verse 12. Kings detest wrongdoing, or they should do. For a throne is established through righteousness. And of course, the New Testament has everything to say about God's servants humbling themselves to be that, servants, living with integrity. Service now, favour and reward in the world to come. If we're trying to grab thrones through our ambition to get influence and power and worldly status, but we don't care about righteousness, we are resisting and standing in opposition to the will of God. So God and ambition. God is guiding us. He's working with us in our ambitions. He's warning us against setting our hearts on wrong ambition. And he's always reminding us of the example of the Lord Jesus, the man of zealous ambition, who detested wrongdoing, and whose throne was established through his life of righteousness. So, know and pursue your ambition. At which point we all smile, because we think easier said than done. It's easier said than done, isn't it? To know an ambition or ambitions which really honour the Lord, and which are wise, which we should expend our energy on. But we should seek to know what those ambitions are the Lord would have for us. So let's back up to that definition I gave us and just spend a little bit of time with it. A godly ambition is a desire to honour God. It's grounded in his word. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. And it seeks to use the gifts which we have been given in the service of Christ. So let's take some phrases there. Let's start at the end. You are a Christian tonight. If you've come to the Lord Jesus, that means he has your heart. You know all of your life belongs to him. Your ambitions, from the micro to the macro, must be in the service of Christ. If it's in the service of me and what gratifies me, you can be sure it's wrong. And it's an unworthy ambition which you need to pray out of your life. So we do all things for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. One of the great banner statements. If we get that, that will begin to bring a lot of clarity into what we're seeking to do with our lives. And then we should be seeking to use the gifts which we have been given. All of us have been gifted individually. No two of us have the same gift in the same proportion. So it's really important we're looking at our lives very prayerfully and thinking and asking the Lord, what are my gifts? What do I love to do? What am I good at doing? And what is fruitful and brings blessing? They're questions which our students should be asking as they're looking into adult life. They're questions we should be asking if we're called to serve at home or in the workplace where somebody's paying us for what we do. They're questions we should be asking as we look to serve in the life of the church. What do I enjoy doing? What do I seem to be good at doing? And as I exercise those gifts, are others being blessed by them? They've got to be your gifts. But we want to have big ambitions. If we set our hearts on doing things in the service of Christ using our gifts, which basically just come naturally, are our ambitions too small? Do we need to push ourselves more? Wouldn't it be a life well invested if we earnestly prayed for a strong, clear sense of leading as to where our life should go? And God gave us an answer which was beyond what we could achieve. And actually, my longing is that all of us are wanting to live that kind of life. Lord, you've given me some gifting. Lord, you've given me a heart to serve the Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to do this. Now, whether that's parenting little ones at home, whether it's being on a more visible platform, whether it's significant service in the church, whether it's the patient and hidden backroom service in whatever area, if it feels beyond our capacity, don't run away from it. If it's in the service of Christ and it's using the gifts you've been given, that may well be a great ambition which the Lord wants you to embrace. Any good ambition a Christian takes up must be an opportunity for greater fellowship with God. And there's no fellowship with God to explore like when you are putting yourself in a direction which you feel inadequate for in your own strength. So maybe revisit tonight or this week ambitions you thought, no, I can't do that, that's too hard. Go back there, explore that again, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe the too hard he wants to make achievable. And he's really waiting for you to go to him in your weakness and vulnerability and fear. And say, no, Lord, I want to go back there. Is this your will for me? Now, that ambition which needs the power of the Holy Spirit must be grounded in his word. God is not going to set your heart in a course which his word is steering you away from. You must be able to look, if you have a certain ambition or a set of ambitions, you must go to every verse of scripture and let those verses filter you and test you and probe you. Because God never leads in a direction opposite from what he has declared in his word. He wants his servants to be serving his word. And in the power of the Spirit, using the gifts he's given, and in the service of Christ. And can I say, maybe it's a closing thing to say, God doesn't always clarify our ambitions overnight. Pray. Set yourself to a season of prayer. That might be a very specific prayer every day for 30 days. It may be very specific prayer for 6 months. It may be a season of fasting. And intentional dealing with God as you seek him for the next stage of your life or that ambition which you can give yourself to. When he gives the answer, you will know. The answer he gives you may be a call really to have a hidden life and hidden service. If that's to his glory, that's to his glory. It may be, as I said, something more visible and impacting. But an ambition worthy of the name Christian is only ambition if it has an eye on the glory of God. Let's crave his honour and glory. Let's long that our brief lives might be used. Let's serve him. To man belongs the plans of the heart. From the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Let's pray. Father, we are wanting the reply of your tongue. We're wanting you to speak into our lives with direction and insight and even startling, surprising, real and powerful guidance. Lord, for those of us tonight who are particularly perplexed and confused, may we hear your word tonight as a call of from deep to deep. May we know in a new and more striking way how much you love us. You have and you are investing in us. And you want us to use our special spirit-shaped gifts for your glory. Forgive us all where we have been foolish and half-hearted in our ambitions. We come again in the name of the one whose ambition was for our salvation. And we pray that his Spirit might take us up and put us to his service and the blessing and joy of many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.